lovely listeners. On today's episode, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles making a comeback, Square Enix goes direct, and Bethesda officially joins Microsoft, and more. You are now listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Jose. And Rob is actually off for the night, so...
Slacking. It happens.
And first, we're going to go into what we've been playing. And I actually don't go first tonight, so that's good. I've been waiting to say that all day.
What? Whoa. You're first on the list. I'll go. Throwing a little curveball early, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Throwing that curveball.
I'll actually start with played a bit of Valheim again. Jose, you streamed it. And check out the Twitch channel, you know, Dual Pixels. Played just a bunch of random stuff with Valheim recently, and that game is just full of, like, shenanigans is the best way to put it. Just, like, all types of odd things happen. Like, we were preparing for, like, a huge, like, voyage to the swamps, and trolls attack us. We run into, like, an abandoned village with a bunch of Draugrs. So it's, like, the worst game to, like, focus on a straight path because you get taken away all types of different places. It's just like that the randomness of the world is like so good where like obviously every world's slightly different, but it seems like there's a lot to do in all of them because on my personal server, like there's a lot of stuff going on too, but it's nothing I've really encountered in your server. So like it's just like there's no wonder why it's doing so well. And it's just because like it's just solid through and through.
Yeah. And what's so crazy is that, like, last week we talked a little bit about it in terms of how, like, you know, how emergent it is. Mm-hmm. And it really is. It really, like, encapsulates, like, randomness.
Yeah.
Like,
in a good way,
it's complete,
too,
like, randomness. Know? Yeah. In a good way, because you create, like, a lot of, like, little adventures, like, just by, like, playing it out.
Yeah.
Just by playing it out. I mean,
literally, we just took a boat and we're trying to find a swamp, and then we ran into various different things, you know? It's just completely random. Which is awesome.
Yeah, not many games do that, yeah.
No, a lot of games that try, like, the randomness just isn't good. So it's either, like, too boring, or what's going on in my game is going on in your game, which going on in somebody else's game around the same time, you know? Yeah, it's cool. I'm loving it still. I think it sold up to 5 million now. I wouldn't be surprised if that had 6, 7, 8. I mean, it's cheap and it's good. That's like the perfect, you know, couple ways to get a lot of people to play a game. If it's cheap and if it's good. And it kind of runs uneven because sometimes like my rig's like aging like a 970 and usually it runs fine, but sometimes it chugs randomly. But it is early access, so, you know, I'm sure that'll get kind of honed in as it gets further and further in development.
Yeah. And on my rig, I know like one of our play sessions, I was getting like 30 frames per second. And then a few other times we did play, I was getting like 90 to 100 frames per second. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Just
like
uneven.
This is a big change.
Yeah.
It's very, very uneven, but it runs on almost anything.
Yeah.
Let's just,
I mean, if
it
runs on
way.
Mine, it runs on almost anything.
No, it does run on almost anything, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'll just
pick it up.
Yeah, jump into my next game. All right, this one's Gnosia, and it's actually a Vita game in Japan, I believe a year or two ago, I think, or maybe more, to be honest. And the best way to describe it is it's like a anime Among Us, but it's single player. So it's like social deduction, like if you played Mafia or Werewolf, game similar to that. What you have to do is it's kind of like visual novel-esque in a way. So like you all come to like, you know, the center, and then you're aboard a spaceship, and then you're talking, and you have to deduce who's the Gnosia, and that person is like an alien, and their whole goal is to destroy humanity. And one of you, when you start, one of you out of, I believe the five, is one of these aliens. So within five rounds, quote unquote, you just talk to the other people. through various chat options, and you can either defend people or, you know, point out people that are acting weird, and you have to like pay attention to what they're saying, and you have like a kind of a digest of what everyone is saying so you can look back on it, and then you have to vote along with the, you know, the computer who should be going to, you know, cryo sleep essentially. And if you get it right, nobody dies. If you get it wrong, a character dies. And the way it's done
it just confuses me a bit.
It is.
So this is kind of like Among Us, and
but single
player. Available on Vita?
No. Oh, that's my bad. It's available on Switch. The first version in English was available on Switch.
I was about to say, you just Switch, reawoken the Vita. You just brought it back to life.
Vita still rises. You know, Vita's still struggling, but yeah, it's on the Switch in English.
And, got it. So it did come out on the Vita, though.
It did come out on Vita in Japanese.
For sure. That's where usually a lot of Vita games are going on the Switch.
I believe Vita was a couple years ago, too. And then so like this kind of came out of nowhere because more and more people have been asking about wanting something like this. And it just kind of popped up, you know. I believe it came out last week or the week before that. So, but yeah. And then the way the game is played, like each round so far has been like 10 to 20 minutes, and that counts as one loop. And then you continue to play loops, and then that adds in more people, and then it adds in crews are assigned certain jobs. So like say if you're assigned to be an engineer, you can each night you can figure out who one Nogia is. So it's kind of cool if you're the engineer, because then you have to convince the other people why that person is the alien that should be voted. But some people don't vote them and they vote you instead. So it's like this kind of like this balancing act of trying to convince the group that it's this one person. But if you do that too much, you look suspicious. So it's like super neat. I think I'm on loop like 12, which isn't far at all, but it's super interesting, far more interesting than I thought it initially would be, just because I never really got into the like Among Us hype. But I think why I didn't is just because like it's just so chaotic with actual people, and it just being a single player experience, like it's kind of cool because you can take your time and like try to figure things out. But yeah, and like the artwork is phenomenal. So if you know you have a chance, take a peek at it. It's just like, it has an anime style, but it's not like it's just all colorful, and like they have super good portraits for like each character. Yeah. I think it's $24.99, so a little cheaper, and you could probably use something new to play on your Switch. So like just buy it.
Well, yeah, that too. Well, no, a lot of stuff has came out on the Switch though, because what do you call it? I've been wanting to play more Bravely Default the second. So I've been wanting to play more of that, Bravely Default 2, and just trying to grind. So a lot of things have piqued my interest on the Switch. On the Switch.
Yeah. And what's nice about this is like you can use whatever controller. Like I'm playing it on my PC through my PC monitor with a pro controller. So like you don't have to do any waggle anything. You don't have to, you know. There's nothing more I hate than when you're forced to use a certain like control scheme in a system that's supposed to be, you know, flexible, where you can use any control scheme. Like it's like, oh no, you have to use the, you know, Joy-Cons. It's like, well, I don't really want to.
Oh boy. That brings me back memories of the 3D All-Stars, Super Mario 3D All-Stars with Mario Galaxy.
See, that makes more sense to me than Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee.
Well, the thing with that one, because you mentioned like all control types, I feel like they like kind of put in things as an afterthought and didn't really fine tune the controls for like for Mario Galaxy.
Oh, I thought they were perfectly fine on Mario Galaxy. Did you play it on Wii?
No, I played it on a Wii, of course.
It feels the same.
But for the Switch, it's a little different. I resorted to playing it in handheld because I did not like.
Oh really?
I don't like the nunchuck. setup that much.
Mm, yeah.
I'd rather play with the Pro Controller in that case. So, yeah. You know, that's where I feel is like, no waggle. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Even though it's Mario Galaxy, I don't want it. And that's where I felt like they could have actually like fine-tuned the controls.
If it makes sense, I don't mind it. But if it doesn't make sense, like in Let's Go, like I don't want it. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Yeah.
Gnosia, that might or might not be how you pronounce it. I think it's pretty close. But yeah, check it out. You know, a little cheaper title, something kind of unique. So take it away.
Yeah. I wish I was playing more Bravely Default too. That's something that I wish I was playing. I'm actually like, this whole week I wanted to play like this Bravely Default 2, wanted to level up my classes and do a little bit of like power leveling for my characters, because in the game there's a specific skill called Forager, and what that does with the regular class, with the Freelancer class, is that you could use your Bravely Default like ability to do it four times in one go. So I'm at the very beginning of the game still, and what I'm doing is that the three characters that I do have currently, and I know there's four, I haven't got the fourth one yet because I'm still at the beginning, I leveled the Freelancer up so all three of them can have Forager. And then I use my Bravely, you know, the default moveset there, so I could do Forager four times. And that way I could just gain items, because Forager, you're just gaining items in battle. So you're pretty much digging for items in battle. So I'm like power leveling the characters, and I'm also gaining so much items, and it's crazy that they actually allow this to happen. This early in the game. But that's what's so great about it, is that they actually allow it. And, you know, they let you do anything. And on top of that, so I have three characters. All three of them have Forager. And there is a guest character in my party, so I never have to worry about dying. So I'm just, like, racking up items while the guest character heals me and also attacks the monsters for me. Yes, I do find that fun.
Well, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat, I guess.
well, here's the kicker. The kicker is, because we were talking about this last week. I know you mentioned you were playing Pokemon a bit last week, and you mentioned you wish the battles would go faster. I think I did mention it before that Bravely Default 2 does have a fast forward button. Nice. So. Yeah, so you're just like, what I'm doing is I'm just hitting Forager four times during an attack turn, and I have like the fast forward option. So everything is going by so quickly, so smoothly. You know, I have this like a well-oiled machine to get items and to level up. And it's so fun, and it's so fun for me. So yeah, I wish I could do more of that. I didn't get to play as much as I would have liked to, but you know, soon I'm going to have all my potions maxed out to 100, all my Phoenix down maxed out to, you know, maxed out to 100 before I actually move on. That's the goal.
Dang, you're going to be so OP.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. That's how I prefer playing my RPGs. Oh, man, if I have these options like speed and a guest character with me that's going to get the kills for me, yeah, this is how I would play my RPGs. If anything, it's business as usual. If this wasn't here, it would be business as usual, getting, you know, progressing in the story just much faster. But yeah, this is implemented in here, and I'm like, I love this. I love this system, and it's fun to me. So I'm going to be, yeah, OP. OP as hell.
Yeah, that's for sure. Not going to take long.
Yeah, OP as hell. Now, I actually still... I'm still playing Destruction All-Stars too. So I'm actually still playing Destruction All-Stars, and I'm doing it during like my breaks at my day job. I'm also doing it, just playing in like short bursts. Like, I think that's what's so captivating for me, with the game is that playing it in short bursts, it's a very good, very quick game. Like I joined a 8v8 Mayhem, so they finally added that in the game for Destruction All-Stars, and I was like, this is like perfect. This is how I wanted the game to be at launch. And I know if you were like if you were still playing it, I know you deleted it, but if you were still playing it, that's, you know, we would be able to finally be on team trying this new mode. Like, that's
space isn't an issue for me, you know.
yeah we wanted this at the beginning. We wanted this sort of thing at the beginning. So I've been playing Destruction All-Stars when I can. Another thing I've been playing is Ace Combat 7. Now, this is actually a little bit different. I played quite a bit of it so far, and I got it off of PlayStation Now, since it just arrived on PlayStation Now, and I really, really like the difficulties and the controls. I really like that. That's a thing in this game. But I'm playing on like an easier mode. I think it's like a basic mode, not the easiest, but it's a basic mode, and I'm finding the controls just fine. It's very, very enjoyable and actually very relaxing to me, because I don't know if it's the graphics or what it is. It just feels very, very relaxing. Even though I'm shooting down like fighter pilots, it's just very relaxing. just hearing like the planes go down. Even then, like hearing like the plane goes that go down when like you shoot your enemies, like everything is like perfect in this game in terms of like the sky, hearing the sky and the what do you call it, going into the clouds and hearing the rain go into your windshield. So I've been playing a little bit of that. I think I'm like 6 or 7 hours in.
Nice.
Just playing it. And this is just like random, like, you know, playing during the missions. I'm enjoying it. I'm actually shocked that I was not into this like before. Especially with these controls, because I feel like the controls are like perfect. Like not too easy, not too hard, but like perfect. And it's making it a breeze for me to like get through the game and relaxing with it. So that's definitely a good get on PlayStation Now. So that's something that I thought was pretty cool. Yeah, but that's all I've been playing. Again, I wish I could play more Bravely Default too.
Just not enough time.
I'd be playing it right now. While we record, just Forager. So that's all I've been playing. Nice. And Valheim, obviously. So
yep.
I guess we're gonna go into the topics, because there's been, you know, a lot of hot news this week. The first thing we're gonna go into is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge announced. And this is crazy that a new Ninja Turtles game got announced, and it's like a homage to the arcade games.
Yeah, it looked absolutely insane.
I was blown away, because I know when this first came out, I wasn't up, I was asleep, and you actually went ahead and put this up, like, oh, this is getting announced. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a reveal trailer and everything. I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I saw the reveal trailer, I was like, whoa, shocking. Like, this is
out of
like
nowhere, you know?
Yeah, out of nowhere. That's nowhere. That's what's the kicker in all this. It's out of nowhere. It's made by .mu, which are the creators of this Streets of Rage 4 that just came out in Tribute Games. So yeah, the footage that was shown was just like a complete homage to the arcade games, yeah. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It's,
yeah, I mean, from the design, gameplay, UI elements, like everything, you know, it's like, dang, it was just like straight up nostalgia right there.
Yeah, straight up nostalgia, but since they also made like Streets of Rage 4 and Scott Pilgrim, like, mm-hmm. you know, since they also were into all these games, you already know that this is going to be like the ultimate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, you kind of have a good baseline for like what to expect, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was real, real shocked about this.
Yeah,
like, it's just real, like, looking at it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so perfect playing it with four players.
Mm-hmm.
The moves, everything is going to be in detail. And the thing is that, since it came out of nowhere, we got no press release from .mu or no. Tribute Games regarding it.
Out of nowhere. No yeah. teases, no leaks, no anything.
Yeah, and it's all scheduled to come out in 2021. And this is for PC and all major consoles. So I'm very excited. I think one of my most anticipated games. And I wish they do X-Men the arcade game. I wish they do. I'm like dying. Come on, someone take a crack at it. Someone take a crack at X-Men. Either like this or in 3D.
Hey, as long as these keep doing well, you know, like who knows what could happen.
Yeah, because I enjoyed Streets of Rage 4, and just going by that, going by Scott Pilgrim, like, again, you know what to expect. So I'm, yeah, it's highly anticipated. Like, I'm can't wait.
Yeah, and like, what's really cool is just like, nothing's ever as good as when you're not expecting it, and just like, nobody mentioned this anywhere, and like, universally, everybody like on forums, on everywhere is just so stoked about it. Nobody's like picking things out they don't like. Like everybody's just straight up excitement, you know? And I think that's really cool. Not something you really see a lot. Usually when someone's teasing something.
Yeah.
I mean, even in like TVs, movies, anything, you know, it's like there's always somebody that's like bringing something down. But like this is just like everybody's just like stoked. It's just like an awesome feeling like all around. So yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's definitely a big win.
Yeah, for sure. Like their marketing department has to be stoked because like their job's so easy now because everybody's already on board, you know. It's strange when a game you've never heard about is one of your most anticipated games, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely strange. We very few and far between has that happened.
Yeah,
so
very few.
So yeah, I commend them on how they like broke this out.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
like this. So yeah, I'm definitely excited. Can't wait to see more.
Yeah,
that's all I say. So yeah, so that got announced. Now another thing that did get announced this week was Square Enix is going to do their own direct style presentation called Square Enix Presents, and it's a showcase on March 18th, which they are going to show off. What their studios have been working on. This is more, I guess, more the North American side of their studios on what they've been working on. We're going to see more things on Outriders. We're going to see more things on like Balan Wonderland. A few more interesting things though that are not even rumored but teased is Tomb Raider 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna see what that's about. What we do know is that there has been, I guess, rumors going on that on the Xbox store that Tomb Raider 25th anniversary is actually all three modern Tomb Raider games. They're gonna be together, and they're going to be remastered. Well, not remastered, but enhanced for the next gen consoles.
I'm surprised I haven't
PS5
done this
and
already,
Xbox One.
To be honest.
Well, I honestly think that like Shadow of the Tomb Raider doesn't really need it. Shadow of the Tomb Raider already looked good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It already had like those options there, but. I guess, you know, seeing them on the PS5, they're going to add, native 4K, and probably 60 frames. You know, they're going to add like little enhancements to mm-hmm. to make it a bit better. Maybe new graphics, new graphic textures, new, you know, just new all around graphic work. But another thing, though, since Tomb Raider is having another, since it is its 25th anniversary, not having another because you only have one. But since it is its 25th anniversary, I do wonder if they're going to show off a new game for Tomb Raider coming up on March 18th during their presentation.
Definitely would be a cool surprise, that's for sure.
Yeah, that definitely would be something cool. I do hope if it is a new Tomb Raider game that they start looking back on the legacy of the character and we start getting that side of Tomb Raider. Even though I loved the Tomb Raider like trilogy, the new Tomb Raider trilogy, I know a lot of people are like so about it. I loved it because it was each of them gradually got better. And I know a lot of people don't like Shadow of the Tomb Raider that much. I thought it was real good. The story, obviously, it's like, so-so. You do see her, like, turn into a more confident, like, Laura. In the game. But, yeah, I loved, like, it just got better as you played, you know, the trilogy. So definitely, I would just like to see them go back to see if we can have more Tomb Raiders focused on the old style of Tomb Raiding, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I know it's a hard sell. That's a hard sell for like the modern day of gaming with how, you know, they changed Tomb Raider, but I would love to see that.
Yeah, I wonder if they would go back, you know?
Or at least back for, like, the 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? They definitely have they have some gems, you know, that they could go back to, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Now, other things that the Square Enix did say they were going to show off, like Just Cause Mobile. I know that's a pretty big endeavor that they're going into with Just Cause, with Just Cause Mobile. We are going to see a bit more about Avengers. And I know last week we were completely talking shit about it.
I mean, we were just laying it out there for what it is, you know?
Yeah, we were just, you know, we were being honest about it there with Avengers. So they are showing more about Avengers, and actually on March 18th, Hawkeye does release and the new story packs that comes with Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. But here they're actually going to talk about just more information about the future. So it looks like they are planning to do a roadmap going by what I investigated as the developers are actually on Reddit, and they did mention and tease that they're going to have information. They're going to have a lot more information, but also like a roadmap sort of information. So that would actually be cool. But we could finally see a roadmap, or we'll finally see more of what they could give us.
Yeah, I think that's like absolutely necessary at this point. Even if it doesn't have to be like an exact month, just like even a quarter, you know, like Q2 or, you know, we should have this Q3, this character, you know, just a rough idea would be nice of what we can expect to be getting for, you know, games as a service game when it was initially released. It'd be nice to have just a general idea.
Yeah, because like even again, when I went ahead and saw like, oh, there's going to be more information. And again, the development team actually is on Reddit and they actually speak with everyone. Another thing I didn't notice about that is that they mentioned that they are not going to quit support. They actually have future content for 2022. So Anthem was a concern because Anthem was something that I guess was going in the same path and now it's dead. And a lot of people questioned this on, questioned this for Avengers, and the development team actually gave out a good answer. They're like, and this is on Reddit, and they mentioned that they have a lot of content and they are not going to quit on the game. So I'm very hopeful that, you know, it doesn't come to the point where they have to cancel the game. Because we all know a Marvel property, there's a lot of things to pull from. And I'm surprised they haven't pulled, you know, so-and-so villains. Like, that's what I think is missing. Like, right now, just different character variety and different environment variety. And the Marvel title shouldn't lack that. So we will see with what happens on the 18th.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're getting Maestro. We saw that. They've shown that, you know? So that's at least a cool new character that's, I mean, not playable, obviously, but, like, in the game, at least. They just need to do more of that. Just keep digging. They have, like you said, they have so many characters, so many costumes, so many activities, so many events that they can pull from. Like, it's almost endless, you know? They just got to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's definitely for sure. So, we'll see on March 18th for that. Now, another thing that is going to be presented there is actually a new Life is Strange. So, I know this is anticipated for a lot of people in the gaming community because Life is Strange 1 and 2 are critically acclaimed games. I played a bit of Part 1. And I liked what I played, so I really don't know too much about it, but, there is a new Life, is Strange that is going to be announced at this event.
Yeah. Kind of like you were saying, like, I think I only played a very, like, episode one of the first Life is Strange, but, like, the following this game has, like, people are definitely stoked to see more. And I think some things are starting to leak. So, like, if you wanted to, you can look around for the info. So, I definitely want to get into them. I just got no time.
Yeah, it's definitely the time.
Yeah, always. Time
we're playing,
always.
Yeah, we're playing too many games. And we're doing, you know, previews for some. So it's definitely a little bit of time there.
Yep.
So with Life is Strange, so they're doing that announcement. And one of the bigger, I guess the more bigger announcements, well, the biggest announcement would be that there's going to be a new Square Enix Montreal game showing up.
Yeah. What games have they made in the past? Do you recall? Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you are putting me on the spot.
They did make the Go games, right? Like Hitman Go and Lara Croft Go, right? Mobile.
Yeah, so they did make those titles.
Hitman Go, yeah. So I wonder if this is going to be a console, like console PC, or if it's going to be another mobile title to go alongside with Just Cause.
I would love it to be a console PC game.
Same.
To see, I want to see what the studio could do.
Yeah, agreed.
Push further.
Yeah, well, not too long. What is that, like 5 days?
We'll find out. Maybe Avengers Go.
that would actually be pretty awesome.
Not gonna lie. Maybe Avengers Go.
I'd play it.
Yeah. Well, the games are, well, since the Go games are actually good, yeah, I'd play. So.
Yeah, yeah, all the Go games are really well done. So.
Yeah, that would be nice. But anywho, we could go into Sony Santa Monica. Yeah, they're also making a new unannounced IP, and it's actually... hinted that this could be Corey Barlog's title, because God of War 2 maybe using another new director. Corey Barlog was the original God of War director, the 2018 God of War. So Sony Santa Monica is working on a new unannounced IP. I wonder what this one is. This is actually bigger than the Square Enix Montreal game, obviously. So I'm kind of wondering what Corey Barlog has in mind.
It's funny you like hesitated just first. I always say Balrog. I can't not say Balrog.
I thought about it.
It drives me insane.
Like, wait, I thought about it. I'm like, wait, it's Balrog. No, it's Barlog.
Barlog.
Always,
Barlog.
All the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, I'll be interested. Because a new IP, like, I don't think it will be, but I hope it's not, like, licensed, just because they're a really good studio at just creating new things. So, yeah, I mean, if it has Sony Santa Monica stamp on it, like, I'm sold, you know? Their stuff's solid. Yeah, I mean, we don't really know. There's been no hints about it. There's been not much news at all about it.
There hasn't been much news about it in terms of, I guess, in terms of like specifics.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of, I guess, talk or rumors that it could be a game in space. Like Sony is going to make a game in space. One of their first party studios is going to make a game in space. So I just wonder I wonder if this is the game, because Corey Barlog with space would be pretty interesting. Like, that's the way how nicely done God of War is. This could get pretty interesting pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
and he's
like
a big
fan
of Star Trek too.
Yeah, the quickest way for me to buy a game is if it's set in space. So yeah. I'm down. There's like nothing else to say when it comes out. I'm pre-ordering it and I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, he is a fan of Star Trek. So I'm wondering if their studio is the one making the space game. I would, like you say, you know, if it's in space, I'd buy it. And especially with like, the production house of Sony's first party, it would be crazy to see something in space. And that's why I hope that, you know, something comes out of this in terms of, you know, this new IP. Whatever this new IP is, it's in space. And Corey Barlog, yeah, would make this work. He would make things work and try different things. Like you mentioned, with an existing IP that's not theirs, they will lose like freedom to it.
Yeah.
But again, it all depends on the IP too. So yeah, I'm very, very interested to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I guess we could go on to like the biggest news.
yeah,
this week. And that is that Bethesda has now joined the Microsoft family. So the acquisition actually closed and it is final. Bethesda is a part of Microsoft Studios. So yeah, that's definitely, it's big. It's huge. In terms of, yeah, this is one of the biggest things, you know, that we've seen so far in gaming in terms of acquisitions. So it's pretty interesting because how this was announced, Microsoft did do a roundtable of some sort to go ahead and let you know, the players know what to expect from Bethesda joining Microsoft. And it seems like a lot of things, as we, you know, predicted a while back when this first initially started, that Microsoft is looking to keep all the, you know, the bigger IPs exclusive, and which they should. We just, during these events that just happened, when the deal actually closed, when the acquisition closed, it's what to expect, actually. Like, you know, honestly, like, they paid $7 billion for the studio. Of course, you know, they're going to have these IPs exclusive on Xbox. And Phil Spencer definitely talked about that they want to give their best experience to people who have Game Pass. But contractual agreements such as Deathloop and Tokyo Ghostwire, those will still be coming out on the PlayStation 5 and will still, you know, uphold those contracts for those games. And community games such as like Fallout and Elder Scrolls will still continue, you know, working as they should. But anything else, you should expect only on Xbox.
NPC.
Yeah, NPC. NPC. Yeah. But again, this is all expected. So, you know, for me, like seeing just the industry in general, like this is all expected. I know Microsoft probably wanted to just get like a PR upper hand and let this ride a bit. But, you know, spending $7 billion on studios, you're definitely going to see these things only exclusive on the Xbox. And
they did kind of still let it ride in a way because they didn't say they wouldn't be coming anywhere ever. You know, there's good PR is they always leave wiggle room, and they did, you know. They didn't definitively say like, no, they won't be coming out on Switch or, you know, Sony consoles. So, like, I don't think it will, but there's the possibility that they left open, you know?
Well, I think that the possibility that they left open was the contractual agreements, because we don't know. Again, we didn't get all the info on what's actually behind and already has been produced and is in contracts. We don't know that yet, because it could be that, you know, coming forward, that their next titles, their next big titles might actually come out on PS5 just because they were under contracts. Or might come out on the Switch because they were under contracts already. And it might cost them a lot more to break the contracts than actually, go forward with releasing them.
Yeah. All I know is, like, if you have Game Pass, you should be pretty excited.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 20 Bethesda games that got dropped Friday. I downloaded probably like 10. And they are starting to, well, they're going to start getting those enhanced with FPS boosts, which will be awesome. But yeah, there's a lot of games, and like Microsoft upped their stable of publishers, even just like straight up talent that they bought tremendously with this deal. So, and I mean, now they own some of the, you know, a handful of the biggest franchises in gaming with like Doom and Elder Scrolls. Yeah. Fallout, you know, like these are massive, massive properties.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I'm like interested. I'm interested to see what they do in the next 5 years. That's why I'm interested at the moment. Again, because I've always said Microsoft needs to nurture their talent. I mean, buying Bethesda, they don't have to nurture their talent technically. No. It would have been nice if they would have, just because you get to see a bit more of their DNA to see what makes Microsoft tick. So in the next 5 years, I would love to see what comes out of this. I'm hoping no more studios close down. That's what I'm hoping. That would suck. Like smaller studios that were part of Bethesda and ZeniMax, like Arkane. That would truly suck. Arkane is like my favorite out of all the Bethesda and ZeniMax companies, developers there. So
there's always that fear, you know?
Yeah. That's the only thing. But I'm actually just waiting for the for the future with how this deal works out to see if it, you know, if it's a, if it was a good buy in hindsight or does it dwindle down?
I mean, it'd be hard to, I mean, any money I have, I'd bet it was a good buy. Just based on IP they bought and the talent, you know, whether the games turn out, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe, I think, maybe not.
Yeah. But, and that's the worrying part because, the IP is great, but if the games turn out bad, then it might, you know, this is where it gets like shitty.
But the odds of like every game turning out bad, pretty slim.
It's pretty slim, but it's still possible. That's the thing. And the smaller studios would get like the most, like I guess the most shit flung at them. And yeah, consolidations usually lead to job loss. So,
but that's where Game Pass could save them. You know. Like, there's less, I think there's going to be less pressure on some of the smaller devs to sell. Because, like, Prey didn't sell well. Dishonored 2, I don't think sold well for what they expected. But more people will try these things out if they're on Game Pass, you know? Like, their intent is on upping the subscriber number, you know? And those types of games will be perfect for that. Even if they don't sell, quote unquote, as much as they want to, you know?
Yeah, even like if they're good or bad. Yeah, it's going to be a balancing act. Yeah, it's going to be a balancing for sure, act
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting to see. So, I'm definitely excited. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see how this is going to work in terms of the balancing act. Again, and this is just because of the studio closures, because I want to see, since this is like a big acquisition that hasn't been seen before, I want to see what goes on. And this is just pure industry talk. So I'm excited. The gaming section, but industry talk, I'm kind of like, we'll see. We'll balance. I want to see this balancing act they pull. So that's going to be so interesting.
I'm not that worried, to be honest.
Well, the only reason I'm worried is, again, just the smaller studios like Arkane. Like that's the one where I can see them like, just because everything is consolidated, they'll be like, oh, okay, we don't need this studio, you know, and slim down the company. And I know it's Microsoft and Microsoft has money, but money doesn't usually, it's not the end all be all in that sense of it's not succeeding like they went the way they wanted to. So
it could go
a lot of different ways.
Do they have a history of closing down a ton of studios? Like if it went to EA, oh, I'd be nervous. If it went to EA, I would 100% be nervous of them closing down half of the studios, you know, the smaller studios they bought.
Well, it's not a history of closing down studios. What happened to Rare was kind of shitty when Microsoft got Rare, because Rare, they didn't get to shine. You know, now they have Sea of Thieves, and that's a great game, you know, what they build mm-hmm. upon Sea of Thieves, but it took them at least 10 years, over 10 years, for them to shine. And that could be a problem with having all these studios, is that the quality of the actual titles. Again, the balancing act is going to be interesting to see, but I don't want anyone to go down like the Rare path where, you know, their shine, they weren't able to show their shine until like a little bit later. Rare was only saved because there was nothing there. Like that, they were saved because of that. When you have so much studios, you could just start closing them down for no reason. And that's where I'm like, I don't want any of these studios to go. I want them to like succeed. I want to see, you know, some cool ass games coming from these studios. So yeah, I'm excited for the future for that.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely knew they needed more studios and more talent, and they got it. So,
well, they got abundance of it. So yeah.
I mean, like that, everybody said, like, there's not enough games, there's not enough talent, there's not enough studios, and then, you know, they couldn't have made a better acquisition than, you know, purchasing Bethesda, that's for sure. So, yeah. I mean, there's some big games coming down soon, too, like Starfield should be soon, Elder Scrolls, hopefully, you know, new Fallout, like, they potentially have a lot of games coming out in the next 2 to 3 years that could be massive for them, including, you know, their studios they purchased, you know, 2019, 2020.
I say about 5 years. I don't think none of these games are ready now.
Like Starfield is rumored to be coming out end of this year or next year.
I think Starfield would be next year. It wouldn't be surprising next year. But like the Elder Scrolls, you know, 2023 possibly. Like,
yeah. I mean, they won't be forced to get things out that soon either, because a lot of the other things that got delayed, you know, like Halo, obviously, supposedly coming out the end of this year. Wouldn't be surprised at the beginning of next year. You know, like they have a lot of games in development, you know?
Well, it's about time.
Well, I mean, everybody complained and, you know, they went out and bought a bunch of studios. So, I mean, you can't say they're not trying. Will it pan out? Will they sell more than Sony? Probably not, but I think they'll be more competitive than it was last gen.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And I guess we'll just go into our next and final topic here. And it has to do like a lot about what the industry is going to look like going forward. What are your predictions in terms of this generation?
Just putting me right on the spot.
Okay.
So I have a prediction for Sony and Microsoft. So Sony, to me, is only really missing one big genre, and that's a first-person shooter of any kind. Unless you know of one, because I was like thinking about this earlier. I was like, they got everything else kind of figured out, but they don't have a first person shooter. So I'm thinking, I don't know what studio it would be. I would love to see another Killzone. I don't think that's going to happen, or Resistance. Don't think that's happening, but I think they'll come out with an FPS to be competitive. Hopefully it's, you know, somewhat soon, because like I was saying, that's really the only spot where they're like, there's a gap, you know, they don't even have, maybe even bringing like a squad based third person shooter, maybe like a, I don't know, SOCOM-esque type game, or.
Oh, I would love that.
I would love something like Starhawk or Warhawk, you know, something similar to that. Those are huge games in their time. A lot of people love them, but yeah, that's just the one thing that's like missing from their standpoint, that like if they could capitalize on that, and I don't see why they couldn't, whether it was new or if it was, you know, a property they already have, they could absolutely blow it out of the water. Bring back Mag. I don't know. Mag would actually work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're saying you see like a Mag sort of a game coming out like for this
just
gen?
Some kind of first person shooter. Yeah. Because like, I mean, I'm trying to think of like PS4 first person shooters like from Sony, and Killzone Shadowfalls.
Yeah.
Well, was that really it? And that was essentially a tech showcase for the PS4. Like it was okay, but it wasn't Killzone 2 or 3, that's for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't Killzone 2. Nothing is Killzone 2.
No. Or Resistance 2 for that matter, you know? But yeah, I think they know it. Like they have to. So I hope they put focus on that, because they could create something truly unique and special in that space.
That's an interesting prediction there.
Yeah. Jumping over to Microsoft side, two things. Since their acquisition with, you know, Bethesda, they got, what is it? Tango Gameworks, is it? Or
yeah. Tango Gameworks. Yes.
Yeah. This is an off the wall prediction. I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're going to have a massive Japanese game. Because, I mean, we all know through 360, they should have had more success with things like Lost Odyssey. I absolutely love that game. But it didn't really push numbers, and it didn't really push hardware, which was the biggest issue in Japan. Sony isn't really all that focused on Japan either. Just the amount of consoles that are going to be sold there pales into comparison to, you know, North America and EU. But I would love for Microsoft to try to make a power play with Inroads, since they have a studio now, you know, Tango Gameworks. Whereas before, they were kind of like the outsider, you know? So I think that would be cool if they can, like, start to make inroads in Japan.
And I have a counter prediction to that.
Okay, good. Hold on one second. Yeah. So that would be awesome. And then the other thing, whenever Halo comes out, my prediction is it will be the biggest shooter out.
Interesting.
Yeah. The brand power behind Halo is absolutely insane. So as long as they just don't mess it up, which is where maybe this acquisition, maybe the Doom guys can help over there, you know, possible. Maybe Wolfenstein guys, you know. They have so much talent in FPS area. Like, this should be the best Halo, like, we've ever seen. Should be. After what we saw earlier, you know, it wasn't good. But, I mean, I'm glad they delayed it. And then I'm thinking, predicting, this is going to be massive. Whew, let me take off my tinfoil hat, set that aside. Take it away.
Time to put on my tinfoil
hat. I'll hand it to you.
Here we go. And like I said, I was going to go ahead and counteract the Japanese Microsoft Power Play.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about acquisitions. And I've always mentioned since the Bethesda deal that acquisitions have always been happening. And now, you know, there's always been chances for companies to make acquisitions. What I think is going to happen this gen, and this might happen even later in the gen, Sony is going to acquire a Japanese studio.
And which one? Put it on the table. Which put one?
Capcom or Square Enix.
Ooh, okay.
And the reason why I say this is because the Japanese stock market is actually protecting Japanese companies from being bought out from other countries. So Sony being a Japanese company, and they're seeing everything that Microsoft has done. Again, it's not reactionary. It's more of a long-term thing.
Now, and do you think they need to? Because they have exclusivity plant like deals with, you know, Square Enix for Final Fantasy for, it seems like, ever. Do you think they need to?
Yeah, they are going to need to, because what I see happening, or what's actually happening, let me take off the tinfoil hat, because this is what's actually happening. What's actually happening is that Sony is going to be a Nintendo player in the video game industry. And what I mean by that is that the way they're selling, the way the brand power is, it's leaning more towards of an Apple approach. And they are going to need developers for this sort of prestige thing to continue. Because right now, the PlayStation brand is very powerful in terms of, you know, numbers, in terms of it being one of these, you know, top five, top three, actually, strongest brands in the world. They are going to need a bit of what made them.
Apple, like in the PS2 days and such.
Yes, they are going to need that. Let me put back on the tinfoil hat. Now,
you could have left it on for that one too, but go on.
No, they are the, you know, they are the, they are top three strongest brands in the world now. So they are going to need something that made them, like, incorporate something of them. They closed down their Japanese studios, obviously, because their Japanese studios, the titles were not selling as well, and they weren't making much progression. And what better way for them to, you know, still have this prestige, but also have a prestigious Japanese company with them that makes a ton of different genres.
Yeah, and I guess if you look back, you know, through time, just like the relationship's been there for, you know, decades.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me that they are looking at Capcom and Square Enix, either or both. Because this whole acquisition thing with Microsoft has actually accelerated companies trying to buy out other companies and consolidate. And we've talked about this before, that consolidation is going to come. Like, you know, it's something that is going to come. It just happens in businesses. Yeah.
Especially as it costs more and more to create things.
Yeah. And, you know, all these little, like, exclusive deals that Sony's doing now with Capcom and Square Enix, that's just their relationship. That's something that Microsoft can't buy. So, mark my words, by the end of this gen, one of those two is going to get acquired, or both are going to get acquired by Sony.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one prediction I have for this gen. Mm-hmm. Another prediction I have for this gen is kind of grounded. I guess we kind of talked about it. I think I just take off my tinfoil hat here, because this is kind of grounded. I think that the next Naughty Dog game is going to be Savage Starlight. And for those of you who don't know what Savage Starlight is, it's actually something that's been teased in the Last of Us universe as this sort of a space opera.
Sci-fi adventure type. Yes, yeah.
Sci-fi adventure, colorful, kind of X-Men-esque sort of characters and stories. And The Last of Us actually has, The Last of Us Part 2 actually has a lot of lore for Savage Starlight. So I think their next game is going to be a complete tone change from The Last of Us Part 2.
I think everybody would be kind of happy about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love The Last of Us too, but like, yeah, I'd be happy for a tonal change.
Yes, I still think about that game. It literally is an amazing game, amazing piece of art for the gaming industry. So, but yeah, a tonal change, you know, the caliber of Naughty Dog with space. Could you imagine? That would be crazy.
Yeah. And like, of all studios, like, I feel like Naughty Dog would be the most seamless to have a tonal shift, you know, because I mean, they've done Jack and Daxter, Uncharted, Last of Us.
Crash
very,
Bandicoot.
Very different games. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very different games in tone, you know? So of all the developers, like, I could definitely see them doing it and doing it extremely well as they've done their past, I don't know, 8 games or something, you know? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be so, like, it would be crazy, especially like, Starlight lore, just in general, what they have in The Last of Us Part 2, it's like a lot. Like, you know, from these trading cards, they have like complete stories, and it's like they go very deep in it. It might just be like a little Easter egg. We don't know, but I really hope it's a thing. It would be so amazing seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rumors about it. I mean, there was some stuff about it. It first cropped up in the first Last of Us. And then Last of Us 2, like, expanded upon that even more, you know? So it's like, would they really pay that much attention to it if there wasn't something coming in the future, you know?
Yeah, and what's so crazy about seeing it in The Last of Us and then seeing it in The Last of Us Part 2, in The Last of Us Part 2, it's, like, more colorful and cartoony, and
yeah,
it's, like, very action hero, like, you know, it's something completely different. So I really hope, like, this is the one I predict as well. Like, I really do think it's coming, and it's gonna, like, get a lot of people by surprise. that it's coming in the way it's coming with a tonal shift.
So you think, just the recap, Sony Santa Monica, space game. Naughty Dog, space game.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but two completely different space games.
Sure, sure. But both set in space. Interesting.
Yeah, both set in space. One, I think Naughty Dog were to do Savage Starlight, it would be more Mass Effect. More Mass Effect-like, but colorful. No, actually, it would be more cyberpunk-ish. The Naughty in Dog space. Game. In space, yes. With space elements. And then the one by Sony Santa Monica would be a more realistic take. Think Starfield, because I know Starfield is probably is going to be a little bit more realistic. Going by
what was shown. Maybe still humans, but like, you know, 200-400 years in the future or some kind of idea versus like legit alien, like Mass Effect-y, less Mass Effect-y.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be more realistic equipment, I guess, like based on reality.
Current tech, but future.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's I do see that coming, that Savage Starlight is going to be a thing. I hope I'm right. this is one where I hope I'm right. More so than the Sony acquisition. The Sony acquisition, I see this one like from a mile away. The Sony acquisition stuff. That's a mile away. Like, I just predict it's going to happen. It's going to happen one way or another. Like, it's going to happen because just how things are going in the gaming industry. But I really hope Savage Starlight is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading a story of people trying to figure out if it was coming out on a Vita, you know, in 2013 or 14.
This is hype.
It would be awesome. Like, yeah, I mean, I remember when The Last of Us 2 came out, people like, some of the first things on Reddit were about Savage Starlight. I'm like, wait, we're doing this again? Like, come on, throw us a bone. Tell us, like, give us a snippet, you know, even if it's just like a title card, you know, like, give us something. That it exists, you know, but just have to wait and see. That's what this gen's about. Waiting, you know,
this gen is definitely about waiting. It's like the biggest player in this game, the VIP.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, those are my predictions. Did you have anything else to add here before we?
The only thing I have to add, just for Nintendo, since we didn't touch on them. I don't care what they do. I'll buy it. That's it. No predictions. You see, just, you know, bring out whatever. I'll buy it.
You see, for me and Nintendo, honestly, Nintendo is the most honest company in terms of seeing things happen. Because just like with Nintendo, when you do actually see a game, you're always surprised. So, like, they always know where to tug in terms of, you know, what games people like, what genres people have. And again, they have this sort of prestige, and that's what Sony is trying to go for. Yeah. And that's what Sony wants. But they
Nintendo
want it bigger.
Seal of quality.
Yeah. Seal of quality. Yep. And I do agree with that. Like, you know, I could predict, you know, future Marios, but everybody would know that. Like,
there's going to be at least two Marios in the next 5 years. Like, yeah, probably.
Everybody would know that.
Like, or a new Pokemon, you know? Like,
oh. So, something I did think of before is that we will get another Super Smash Brothers. Now, this Super
Smash...
What
the heck is that going to include?
Yeah, this Super Smash Brothers is going to be a complete reboot. And it's going to be in 3D. That's something I do predict that's happening.
That's quite a reboot.
Yeah, I put on my tinfoil hat for this one. But now the reason why I predict this one, this is something I've always had in my head for like a little bit on why I predict this one, is because now Smash Bros. Ultimate has been going on for for quite a bit in terms of characters. There is over 80 characters in Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah.
Now, a majority of those characters are third-party characters. Not a majority, but there's a lot of third-party characters.
Yeah,
there's a lot of third-party characters. And, you know, if they do make a sequel, it's going to have to include all these characters now because everybody is expecting it. Now, the only way that I think that Nintendo could get away with a reboot of Smash Bros. Would be making it in 3D.
Yeah, that completely makes sense, yeah.
That way, they could reboot gameplay systems, you know, completely 3D gameplay, kind of like Power Stone.
So new assets, obviously.
Yeah, new assets. And also, they could work with different characters. So now they could pick out different characters and, you know, everybody's not expecting the 80 characters in this case.
Ooh, so the stages could be so cool.
Yeah, so that's something I do predict in happening this gen with Nintendo. Well, Nintendo's not on any gen, but, you know, during
They just do their own thing.
Yeah, they just do their own thing, but so during the next 5 to 7 years, I could see that Smash Bros. 3D where it's a complete reboot, reimagining of Smash Brothers, and no one's going to care about the characters because it's new. So that's something that I do see like happening and I do predict.
I mean, Pokemon's going open world, so like there's faith in, you know, in the reboot there.
Yeah, for
it took
sure.
A while, but
for
it's
sure.
Going.
Yeah, for sure. That's something I do see happening. I wish it's something that Sony would have done at the beginning, but I think this is Nintendo's like shine here with Smash Brothers and how they could reinvent it.
Mm, totally agree.
So yeah. I got a prediction for everyone there. So I guess that's it for this week's episode of the podcast. And yeah, we're gonna close the floodgates. Aha, I got it in there. We're gonna close the floodgates. So like us on Twitter, follow us on, well,
vice versa,
follow, Yeah, follow us on Twitter. One of those two. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website. We'll be having more new articles out. Especially check out the Infiltrating Department of Truth. It's not games, but if you do like comics, we do have that up there. And yeah, definitely just check us out there on the website. We'll have a lot of more content coming out. More in-depth stuff with games. So check us out on dopixels.com and also subscribe to us on every major platform in terms of podcasting. So you could catch us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music. We're everywhere. And with that being said, see you next week.
See ya.